We recognize your greatness and your power and your majesty. We recognize that you are without sin and without stain, without blemish. And we recognize, Lord, that we are sinful people. We recognize that a little baby needs to be washed by you before it could ever come into your presence. We recognize that each and every one of our hearts would need to be cleansed by you before we could ever see you. So we thank you, Lord, this morning that you are a God of not only holiness, but of intense grace. A God who is not only perfect, but a God who is so powerfully loving that you've made a way for us to come into a relationship with you. We thank you, God Almighty, that you took on flesh and came and lived amongst us and died in our place. We thank you that your blood is powerful enough to wash away every sin. And we thank you that you are reaching out to us and eliciting a response of faith from inside of us so we can recognize our need and turn in faith to you. So this morning, indeed, Lord, we turn. We turn from all that has distracted us. We turn from all that has led us astray. We turn from all those things that have caused us to stumble. And we turn our attention towards you. We say, Lord, here we are, undeserving, but requesting people. We request your grace to wash us again. And we receive your grace afresh and anew. And we receive this welcome invitation to come into your very throne room to receive grace and mercy in our time of need. We see you as a heavenly Father, not only of holiness, but also with a smile on his face, who welcomes us as a loving Father. And so we run to you. We run and we wrap our arms around you and receive your warm embrace. Now, Lord, fill us with yourself. Fill us with your Spirit. Work into every crevice of our being, every thought that comes into our minds, every feeling that elicits out of our heart, every part of our beings. Move, Lord. We welcome you in, so that indeed we might be people who are filled with you, empowered by you, that we might bring you glory and bring you praise. We exist for you, God. You don't exist for us. We exist for you. And so we gladly receive this calling and this anointing and this assignment to bring you praise all the days of our lives. Praise all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, good morning to each one of you. We've been looking for a number of weeks at the scriptures that talk about how God has gifted us. Specifically, we've been talking about spiritual gifts. But this morning, I want to back up a little bit and get the broader picture again. And I want you to think about the reason you're here, the reason that you exist, God's purpose for your life, and how that relates to all these things we call spiritual gifts. And to start us off, I'd like you to look with me at a text of Scripture, 1 Peter chapter 4, starting at verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4, starting at verse 10. It reads this way: each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. The word there, each of you should use whatever gift you have received, is the word charismata. It's the word grace expression or grace reception. It's the word for grace with an ending on it that means that thing of grace. And then later on in that same verse, he uses the word grace again. So each of you should use whatever grace expression you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So various forms of grace are distributed. The verse starts off with the word each one, every one of you. Every one of you have received gifts from God, graces from God. And specifically, we could look at the spiritual gifts, which are graces from God, but there's so many more as well. Life itself is a gift from God. The ability to get up this morning is a gift from God. Your physical body is a gift from God. Your personality is a gift from God. Some of you are more thankful for that person's personality than others. And your intelligence is a gift from God. Your abilities, your perceptions, the experiences you've had, all of these things are gifts from God enabling you to live out your purpose, enabling you to do exactly what God wired you to do, made you to do, created you to do. You have received grace so that you could be God's person, live out God's assignment. We celebrate Marius' baptism today. I was standing in the back, and I was looking at Gabe and Kelly, and they have a brand new infant with them. And we saw pictures this week of the Edlund's new grandson, Odin. All these little ones, we celebrate these little lives. In this case, they're all little boys, aren't they? Kelly, is yours a little boy? Oh, a little girl. Okay, we got a girl in the mix. Good. But these little ones, we celebrate them, and we think, what are they going to become? What's their lives going to be like? What will they do? Who will they marry? What relationships will they be in? What careers will they pursue? And all of that, we're asking, how is God going to be glorified in their lives? How are they going to live out God's grace, share God's grace? What will that look like? And there's a whole lifetime in front of them, but each and every one of us have in front of us opportunities to live out God's grace. So I mentioned Odin, he magically appears on the screen. Is that what's going on? These little ones. I want you to recognize what God says about them. And it's true of each and every one of us. In 1 Peter, flip back a couple chapters. To chapter 2. Peter in this epistle is talking to the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his introduction, he calls them to God's elect, the ones who are scattered around but are chosen according to God's foreknowledge through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Christ. But then in talking to them, he says in verse 9 of chapter 2, in verse 9 of chapter 2 of 1 Peter, he says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light." By extension, that description of his audience that he's writing to is also a description of you and of me, and of these little ones that we're celebrating today. Each of you are a chosen person. Each of you are a royal priest. Each of you are a part of this holy nation, a group of people. You are God's special possession. That's your identity. And each one of us needs to see that, to recognize that. I am here as a person selected by God, chosen by God, elected by God, to perform, to live out this special role as a holy person, part of a holy nation, part of a royal priesthood. That makes you and you and you and you and me priests for God. Now, a priest is that term that describes a person who's been selected to be an intermediary person. A person in the middle. A person who stands between God and others. And in that in-between person, they hear from God and they tell the people what they've heard. And then they look at the people and they talk to God about the people. They have an in-between role. They're praying to God on behalf of the people, and they're hearing from God and speaking those words on behalf of God to the people. An intermediary. You are an intermediary. You are a priest in that biblical sense of that word, that true spiritual sense of that word. You are a priest to your family, to your circle of friends, to others in the congregation, to the larger community. As you walk around Fertile, Beltrami, Crookston, the towns you live in, as you interact with the people amongst them, you are there not as simply one of them, you are there as an intermediary. You are there as a priest. As you wake up and interact with your family around the breakfast table, as you do things in the evening and prepare for bed, you are there as a priest. To be in between them and God, looking to them and seeing their needs and praying to God for them, interceding for them, but also listening to God and hearing what he's saying and speaking that over them. What does that mean? That means that by God's grace, you've been assigned this huge role. And God made you to play that unique role in a unique situation. Every one of you has a different niche to fill. See, God is the creator, and he doesn't make anything the same. Every individual is an original. Every one of you is different from every other person. Even identical twins are not truly identical. There are minute differences. I had, when I was teaching school, triplet boys, identical boys, 3 hours in a row, seventh grade. I think there was one day when the same one took the test 3 times in a row. I'm not positive, but I think. But even they had specific little differences. They are not the same individual. God made them different. And God made each and every one of you different. I heard it said that if you went out in the wintertime and got a square cube of snow, the millions of snowflakes in there, every single one would be different. No two would be the same. And there are no two people the same. That's because God knew he needed you to fill a certain role in that family, in that community, in that congregation, in the larger world. So he made you uniquely. He made you specific. He made you with special abilities, special passions, special spiritual gifts, special experiences. All these things he did to make you unique so that you could play this original role in his kingdom. Now imagine what happens if you don't do that. Imagine what happens if you try to be somebody else. We've already got one of them. We've already got one Randy, so the rest of you can stop trying to be like Randy. Please. One of the things that young preachers sometimes struggle with is they try to figure out how to preach by listening to other preachers, and pretty soon they start sounding like one of those other preachers. We've already got one of them. We don't need another one of those preachers. We need each individual to be who God made them to be, to use their unique gifts and abilities and strengths and experiences and passions to play the role that God has called them to play as a priest in his kingdom. We think of parents being priests over their kids, but each one of you is a priest in a larger community. And as you're living out that role, you are receiving grace from God and sharing grace from God. The text we started with was in chapter 4 of 1 Peter. Let's read it again. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, this time going on including 11. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he or she should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. And then here's the reason why. So that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. In other words, we live these lives that God has wired us to live, and we do these things that God has enabled us to do and given us opportunity to do so that he gets praise. We're going to talk this Sunday school hour about missions and opportunities to help out in Africa, and even little ways like helping them grow better crops. That can be done, and all the other missionary efforts that are done so that Christ gets praised, so that God gets the glory, so that people recognize who Christ is and respond in faith to him and live lives that honor him and elevate him and communicate him. The little things and the big things. Everything you do, done for the glory of God. Bring praise to God. We are missing a few of our young adults. They went off to college. where they're supposedly learning, developing skills and abilities and understanding. They should be doing that in order to live lives that bring praise to God. Some of you are involved in the harvest that's taking place these weeks. All of that is done to bring praise to God. The public schools and the home schools will be starting up soon. All that is done in them, in those settings. All that the students do, all that the teachers do should be done to bring praise to God. The jobs that you are involved in, they're not just income producers, but they're opportunities for you to bring praise to God. We had the opportunity to live almost 3 years down in Florida. And one of the things we really enjoyed doing there was taking a break and driving about 90 minutes over to our favorite beach. And one of the things that's fun to do on the beach is to build sandcastles. And you can put a lot of effort into building a sandcastle. Or one day we made a sand mermaid. My older son was willing to lay down and let us use him as the form of that. I don't think he enjoyed the pictures we took as he was trapped there, and he looked more and more like a female mermaid than he should have. But it was a fun thing to do, to spend time with sand building things. But you know what happens on the beach? The tide might have gone up, but the tide will come back in. And you want to be close enough to the water line so that the sand is sticky when you build it. But when you do that, you know that eventually that whole area is going to be wet again, and all that you did is going to be washed away. And the reality is, as we live our lives building things, investing in things, producing things, most of it's going to be washed away. Most of it only lasts a little short time. But the things that you do that glorify Christ, the things that you do that bring Him praise and result in others coming to join you in praising Him, are things that last forever. You can wash a baby and the baby will be dirty again pretty soon. But you pour the grace of God into that little one through your words and through your actions and through the love that you pour into it, it'll last forever. See, you're doing God's stuff when you're living your life as a priest, as an agent of God's grace. You're doing God's stuff. It says in verse 11, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. It's God working through us to bless others that we're to be involved in. We're to be continually people who receive and give, receive and give. We hear from God and we speak. We receive from God and we serve. And as we do that, we bring Him glory and we fulfill our purpose. I enjoyed reading this week some material from Saddleback Church. They have a program there that they've developed. Rick Warren and Eric Rees have put together this program. They call it SHAPE, using the acronym S-H-A-P-E. And they talk about how your shape determines what you should be doing. I encourage you to get their material, to read their book. It's helpful, I believe, because it lists these five things that God has done in you to make you who you are. You have each one of you a different shape. And they're not talking about your physical shape, although that's a great analogy. In fact, have you watched the Olympics? Do you notice? I didn't see any of the gymnasts playing this week on the basketball team. I didn't see any of the shot putters doing the 50-meter dash. They were shaped a certain way, which gave them the ability to perform certain athletic feats. And different shapes don't work in different settings. I think that one shot putter would have sank if he or she, it was a she, would have tried to do the triathlon swim. I think she would have sunk like a lead shot put. That's the way she was built. Different shapes physically give you different abilities to do things physically. But you also have a spiritual shape. So, five things. S-H-A-P-E. Your S would be the spiritual gifts that God's given you that we've been talking about over these past few weeks. And I encourage you to continue to understand those in a greater and greater way. Scripture says, do not be ignorant about spiritual gifts, brothers. So you all have a unique combination of spiritual gifts to serve, to speak, to give, to administer, to encourage. But you also have other gifts from God. The H stands for the word heart. You each have unique passions, concerns, parts of you that are wound up about certain issues. You have a unique heart. Understand that heart so you'll understand how God has made you to serve Him. A, you have different abilities. God will never hold you accountable for not performing something that He never gave you the ability to do. God's never going to say to me when I get up there and says, why didn't you write an opera for me? Why didn't you sing a lot in front of the church? And I'll say, because God, you never wired me to do that. You never gifted me to do that. If God expects you to do something, then He gave you an ability to do it. So look at your abilities. Has He given you musical ability? Has He given you the ability to look at details and bring them to order? Has He given you the ability to help everyone in the crowd feel like they're connected and kind of bring a camaraderie together? Has He given you the ability to build something, to grow something? Look at those abilities. S-H-A-P. And I just drew a blank on P. Got to think of what P is. Well, let's go on. E, P will come to me. E, your experiences. If you believe that God is sovereign, if you believe that God is in charge, then you must also agree that your experiences are guided by God. The good experiences you've had and the bad experiences you've had. Even the negative things in your lives can be used by God to shape you so you could be the priest God's called you to be. I want you to stop complaining to God about the negative things and start saying, God, I know that in that even you are good and sovereign. And you use even the bad to bring about your perfect will. I heard a quote this week, read a quote this week, by a woman, Lisa Bevere. She says, if you think you've blown God's plan for your life, rest in this. You, my beautiful friend, are not that powerful. You can't blow God's plan for your life. Now, you might get in the way at times. You might act like you're just trying to run away from God and ignore God. You might be so distracted with other things you're not listening to Him. But ultimately, sovereign God accomplishes His will and uses even the things that were negative in your life and the times when you were disobedient to bring about His perfect will. Stop thinking you're God. Start recognizing He is. And thank Him for even the times that seem to be the most miserable times and that He is able to use those for your ultimate good. God is able and He will bring about His perfect will in your life. P is your personality. You have a unique personality. Some of you are bubbly. Some of you are reserved. Some of you have Italian blood, and some of you have just all straight Norwegian blood. Some of you are strong Germans, and some of you have some Spanish Latino accents to you. And all those different ethnicities that come together and all those other factors come together to make you with a unique personality. And it's a good thing. It's a gift from God. It's a grace expression from God. So these things, five things, your spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your personality, and all your experiences shape you so you can be the priest God made you to be. The one who listens to God and speaks and serves the people. The one who interacts with the people and speaks to God in an intercessory, prayerful way. The result is that God gets glory and God gets praise. So as you leave here today, I want you to leave as people on assignment. Your assignment is more than to be entertained. Your assignment is more to be distracted. Your assignment is more to just get through life. Your assignment is to bring your Creator glory and praise by your words and your deeds as you fill the unique spot, the unique niche that God has shaped you to fill. This means that no one is an accident. This means that no one, no person is a mistake. That means that each and every individual is designed by God, shaped by God, equipped by God, gifted by God, crafted into His masterpiece so that you could play a role in His broad kingdom plan. Remember that as you look in the mirror. Remember that as you look around. Remember that as you see things on TV. God has a plan for you and for that person. He wants to bring them into His kingdom and use them to extend His grace. Let's play the role God has made us to play. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank You that You are sovereign. We thank You that You chose to rescue us from sin that had entrapped us. We thank You that You have shaped each one of us uniquely and prepared us and equipped us to bring You glory. We pray, God Almighty, that You would now enable us to live this out. Empower us to see what You've done in us, to celebrate it, to affirm it, and then to invite You to empower us to be the priests You've called us to be. Lord, we ask this so that You'd be glorified amongst us. We ask this so that Your praise would be raised up. We ask this so that our lives would be a blessing to others and the whole world would come to know You. We ask this so that our sons and daughters would see examples of people who are living a life of purpose for You. We ask this so that the elderly amongst us would be cared for and celebrated and their gifts recognized. We pray this, Lord, so that each and every person would be serving You and serving one another and bringing You great glory and the world come to recognize You amongst us. We ask this in Christ's holy name.